Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, Allah Ta'ala, with His fadl, His grace, with His karam, with His mercy, with His blessings. And due to all of these things, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has brought us here, allowed us to gather here with the basis of fikr, with a worry, with a concern. And whoever is included in this majlis, in this gathering, who is listening to this gathering, for a special reason and fikr and worry, we are gathered together. And it is such a worry and concern that every mu'min and mu'mina, every man, believing man, and believing woman, mu'mina and a mu'min, it is lazim, compulsory, essential, that compared to all of the other worries and concerns, this worry and concern should overwhelm everything else. And what does fikr mean? To think, to have caution, concern, feeling, deep thought, emotion. For example, you have a concern, I need to prepare something for my earnings, I need to arrange education for my children, I need to buy a house, somewhere to live, etc., etc. These are the thoughts and concerns of life. And all of these concerns are there and they are necessary. There's no doubt in this. But compared to all of these concerns and fikr, they are, you can say, contained and restrained within this world to the extent of this dunya. And we should do this. We should worry about these things. And we have to live our life in this world, isn't it? But we shouldn't have so much concern and worry for all of these things that we become immersed and drowned in these things, that the asal, genuine, everlasting fikr, that we compromise that, and that there's a real world that we have to travel to, and people who disappear from our sights, and we don't even have any regard for that. We need to have that fikr, the concern for the hereafter life, over and above all of these concerns. Is this right? And if we don't have this, then it's a very bad situation. Very foolish situation, to be precise. That for this small dunya, this short life to live here, to be sustained here, to live the life for ease and comfort, we have fikr. Definitely have worry for that and all of the things in this world. More and over and above the worry of this dunya, we should have concern for the life where we are going to live forever, where we get to spend our life for eternal, ever and ever and ever. Until when? Mustaqil, continuous forever. For example, you're on a journey and you stop somewhere. You stop at a service station, a motel or a hotel, and what is the fikr you'll have there? Okay, I'm here, 15 minutes, a little while, okay, let's just persevere. And whatever the situation is, we're on a journey, we have to stop here, rest, even if it's not to our liking. But where we are going on the journey, we know that we have to stay there, we have to live there. That's the concern and the fikr we have for that, that I'm going to live or leave this stopover. This is just a few minutes, isn't it? The time's going to pass. So we think about the destination where we're going to. I have to go there, go home, or wherever I'm going to stay, etc. My destination. So this is the point. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. With Allah Ta'ala's fadl and karam, we should have fikr, the insan, the human being, mu'min and mu'minat. If we don't have this, then we need to cure ourselves. We need to cure ourselves. That why am I doing these silly actions? I'm mad. I'm crazy. Why don't I have aql? Why don't I have a brain, an intellectual capacity that tells me that I need to prepare for the everlasting life and thereafter? So when the fikr comes into a person's life and mind, he then does something, action, physical. For example, if I have a worry, look, I need to earn a living so I can put bread on the table. Then I'll get up, won't I, in the morning. Look, there's a job. I'll have to look for a job. I'll have to do something, isn't it? I can't just have empty fikr and worry, blind fikr. It's not going to be of any use. All of you sit here, somebody's got a job, business, somebody's doing something to earn a living, isn't it? Cannot be that nobody's working, is it? Because I have to earn my living, earn my keep, bring the food, and the person who's not working, we say, oh, he's bekar. What a waste, bone idol. People, you know, joke against him and tell him off and mock him. So in the same way, if we've got fikr for the akhirah, then should we just sit down, hand on hand, leg on leg, and just do nothing? We've got to do something, isn't it? We've got to start moving. So what's the fikr of the akhirah, of the hereafter? We need to think. Let's hear. Let's share. The fikr of the hereafter isn't, oh, my house, how good does it look here? Yeah? If somebody is worried about Jannah, paradise, if I say that this should be the decoration, I need wallpaper, angels, what lights are you putting on? Which fittings and fixtures are you putting in my house? No one has said this. We know he's going to paradise. You get into paradise, don't worry, because Allah is the manufacturer of your home. So you don't need to worry about the small details. So a person, if he has fikr of these things in the akhirah, then it's minus. I need to decorate my home, carpet, furniture, decorations, and the looks. Nobody has any jannati got fikr for these things, worry. So you don't have to worry about this. Or I'm going to get a big mansion. I'm going to fulfill my expenses. The water bill in paradise, if I don't have a meter there, how will I live? How will I pay the electricity bill? Does anybody have any fikr like this, these details for your home in paradise? You'll say, what a mad person. We're going to stay free of charge in our houses. The person, Allah, the Creator, is going to give us the house. It will be free of charge. Say subhanallah loud. Subhanallah. So this is also eliminated, this worry. So no worry about the decoration or the looks of the house, or how we're going to pay for our keep in paradise, the bills. There are no bills, free of charge. Then Jannah will be a massive place. There will be friends. You'll feel like, okay, let's go today. We used to do dhikr together. Let's go and meet this brother. Let's go and speak to this person. Yeah, because you get bored on your own, isn't it? Oh, let's go and meet my old friends who are in the dunya. Let's go and sit with them and drink some tea and have some coffee. Let's have some fish. And we'll make some chicken buna. Yeah, and mashallah, his hoors, they make nice food. Let's go and visit him. Oh, he lives in another place, in another corner, on this other level, and I live here, on this lower level. I need some transportation. No worries. You just think for a second, and the best transportation will come and stand in front of you. The best form of transportation will come. You just have to sit down, and you have to make the usher. You just have to usher. You don't have to tell the transport where you want to go, and the transportation will automatically know in advance where you want to go. So you don't need to worry about this. I have to buy a car, new model. Why? Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has given us the home. He's taken us to paradise. Will He not give us the car? Or the transportation? You understand what I'm saying? You're not understanding. I am just taking you on the journey to Jannah. So we don't have this worry. So what worry is there? What pain do we have? What issue? Think about the akhirah. That we have all these issues and worries. So what is the taklif? What's the pain we have? Think for a second. Think. 2 minutes, I tell you. What is the problem? What fikr then? What concern or preparation do we need to make for the hereafter? If everything's prepared for in advance. Do we know? Think for a couple of minutes. We don't know. That's why I say we need to live our life properly. We don't have fikr for the house in the hereafter. We don't have to worry about the bills for the hereafter. We don't need to worry about the car in the hereafter, the transport. That's all we know. We have to go into paradise. So the fikr, the concern for the hereafter, what should it be, my friends? Is that we should be forgiven. We should attain success. All of the play in Jannah is upon what? Success and salvation and forgiveness. So that's the crux point here. We need to have a worry, concern, Allah, please send us from this world successful, so we can be forgiven in the hereafter. That's the point. And if we're not forgiven, and all of the things that we discussed, we don't get them in the hereafter, we won't get them. We don't have a worry for these things. What should we be worried about? That Allah just forgive us, Allah, so we can succeed. Success when we transfer from here to the hereafter. Do we have this worry? Am I worried about forgiveness, salvation? All of us, say it loudly. Why are we scared? A person who doesn't have the worry for success and salvation, tell me. Everybody has this. Everyone wants that Allah forgive me, give me falah, success. And najat means Allah save me from Jahannam, take me from hellfire, take me to paradise. Allah save me from the punishment of the grave. Allah give me salvation and success. Allah save me from the hard death. Allah save me from drowning or burning or falling or from the severe causes of death. So this is najat. This is that Allah give me a peaceful end to this life so I can with ease transfer into the hereafter, into the akhirah, and get the goodness in the akhirah. Do we all want this? Okay, let's ask the Quran, how do we get this then? And if we get this, will we practice it? Will we? Okay, so the Quran will tell us. Allah Ta'ala has given us the kitab. And you think Allah Ta'ala has not given us the solution in the Quran? This is something you've got to think about. That if this is the maqsad of our life, the objective of life, will the Quran not tell us how to get forgiveness and easy death? And forgiveness and success in the hereafter. So the Quran is telling us, subhanallah. Qad aflahal mu'minun, Allah says. Qad aflahal mu'minun, Allah says. That all of the believing men and women, they have attained success, Allah says. Qad aflahal mu'minun, subhanallah. Allah says this in the Quran, alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala gives a guarantee, totally free and successful. 100% Allah Ta'ala says najat. Clear? So what is the deed that Allah Ta'ala says you'll get success in the hereafter? What is the deed? There must be a deed in Allah Ta'ala has given us the amal that do this deed and inshallah you'll get the success. So Allah says in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ صَلَاتِهِمْ Allah says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ Isn't it? Isn't this the action Allah's given? What is the point here? Salah. Allah says salah. Salah, prayer, prayer. What a great action Allah has told us. Salah, prayer. Allah Ta'ala has given you such an amal. The person who does this amal, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Any man, woman, whoever takes hold of salah, Allah Ta'ala says, my Rabb, I promise you, I'll give you success upon success. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Allah says, if you pray, establish prayer, you will have success. فَلَهُ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Subhanallah. How sad if we don't pray salah. If we're not praying, how sad. Imagine salah is critical. We are essential. Will we leave salah? Just one action, Allah Ta'ala said. One action. That for falah, attached to the word falah is one amal. Salah. Allah says salah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. And the person who doesn't pray, the person who leaves salah and who is lazy in salah, then what is the hukum for that person? Allah Ta'ala says that that person is like he has gone into kufr on the banks of disbelief, because salah is such an action. Allah Ta'ala says, if you hold, stand here, a person who doesn't have belief and a mu'min on the other side, how will you distinguish between the two? That the person, the mu'min, will be running towards salah. You won't look at the nose. The person who doesn't have belief, his nose is the same as the mu'min. The color is the same. The beards are the same. The complexion is the same. The imamas are the same. The dhoti is the same. You can't distinguish from dhoti or imama or beard or white color cloth or wealth, because even the person who doesn't have iman has wealth. There's no distinguishing feature factor. They are insan, we are insan. They are human beings, we are human beings. But the person who wants success and the one who doesn't want success, there's a difference between them both. And what is that? That we say he's a mu'min. Yes, he is. A person is a mu'min. But to get falah, there's a condition, Allah Ta'ala says. And what is that condition? If we don't fulfill that condition, Allah says, then you have gone to the brink of kufr. If you take salah out of your life, you don't know if Allah Ta'ala is there. Allahu Akbar. So now let's look at our mu'ashara. Let's look at our environment, our lives, our homes, at our lifestyle. That, for example, if you stand in a shop at your business place and we leave salah, a guest comes and we leave salah, that we have to cook the food or we have to cook for somebody, we leave salah. For example, we become a bit busy, we leave salah, or we're going on a long journey. The biggest you can say, restriction or obstacle, the first thing that will cause us to leave salah is what? Oh, salah, I have to leave it. Everything falls upon the salah. All the restrictions, oh, I'm tired. We'll eat when we're tired. Oh, I'm tired. You're eating roti. You're eating the bread. You're talking and chatting. You're looking at everything and all the kharafat and everything. You're tired. Salah. Oh, salah is left. So if you're ill, you got a cold, where will the cold and illness fall on? Your salah. Oh, I'm ill. I can't pray salah. Oh, just leave it. I'll pray at home. The first thing that will suffer, the shaitan will instill the waswasa into the ears. People will be at your house. Where are you going, man? You're ill. Just pray at home. You can pray at home. It's okay. And then while you read at home, pray at home, pray at home, pray at home, pray at home, salah disappears from the life. So this is our hal. So when the ummah becomes like this, then the biggest action that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, what is that? The greatest and biggest action. A person, even if he's passing away, he shouldn't be leaving salah. Hazrat Imam Hussein radiyallahu anhu, what a great example he set forth. Not a small example. He was in a struggle, and such a maqam came. It was salah time. He said, wait, please. Do you know? He had wounds. He was in difficulty, pain, and the body was suffering big time. They said, what do you want? The enemies asked, what do you want? He said, I don't want anything. That just let me prostrate to my Rabb. That's it. They couldn't give him shahadat, the zalim people, because he had that request. What a beautiful example the Ahl-e Bayt have left for us. And this example, he made it, established it, and was established from the household, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That this event could have happened with any of the Sahaba, but this sacrifice was given by the household family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That don't leave salah. My relatives, my grandson is given this example, and subhanAllah, big news, big lessons to be learned from this event. When that day and age, that we learn from that day and Rasulullah had passed away, and when fitnas have started, and now we have got the total message of fitan and fasad. But Allah Ta'ala gave the example through the Ahlul Bayt, all of the Sahaba, they were at one side. And this was a great Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had love, extreme love, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried and the tears came from his eyes when he had the news and given the news in advance about the shahadat of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. So his lips were quivering, salah, 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 that don't leave salah. Rasulullah gave us this learning once he departed from this world, that Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu said that I don't need water, I don't need anything else. That subhanAllah, is a person awake at that time? For example, look at my example. If I'm tired, what do I look at? What do I look at if I'm tired? Salah. Oh, I'll compromise my salah. I'll leave salah. And what's the order here? That the body of Hazrat Hussein wounds and the children have been given such severe pain, extreme thirst, extreme hardship. And in history, you cannot see an example comparison to this. The children, brother and cousins, everyone given the pain and the suffering, and all of them passed away. And what did Hazrat Hussein ask? Stop. Stop. And he said, they said, yes, what is your desire? He said, let me prostrate. So when they were Muslims, whatever they were, they said, okay, fine, pray your salah. So he started his salah. Imagine his sajda at that time, the sajda, the prostration of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And opposite him are the people who are against him. And they're there to fight against him. And he had the desire to meet Allah. Imagine. So again, he said, I want to give my final prostration to my Rabb. He went into prostration, and that is where he was slayed. They said, ah, now you're under our control. And he was given the great maqam of shahadat. So why was this given to us? So that the ummah of Rasulullah could understand that this is that action, salah, that wahid, you will have one amal, one deed. That if salah cannot save you, then dhikr will not save you. If you salah cannot save you, Quran won't save you. Listen to this. If you salah cannot save you, Hajj will not save you. If I'm not a mufti, but I'll tell you from the Quran and the hadith, I'm telling you the summary. No deed can save us, give us forgiveness, except that deed of salah. The person whose salah is correct, he will be saved and he will get forgiveness in the hereafter. After that, all of the other actions will be looked at. Remember this point. We speak about dhikr, and I do Quran recitation and dhikr and other actions. First and foremost, the action that will be presented ours in the court of Allah will be what? Salah. Oh, and let's hear another point about salah here while we're in passing. The salah that we pray and we fulfill that action of salah. Now, we need to think here that the question does arise that if we don't pray, we're not believers, we cannot be Muslim, and then we are in the grouping of the people who don't have iman. So the punishments, now we see that nowadays we can see the punishments, the consequences, all of the consequences of the world and the environment and society around us is due to the not praying salah. Allah Ta'ala has given us beautiful small examples. Allahu Akbar. أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ, Allah Ta'ala says. And further Allah Ta'ala says, أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, Allah Ta'ala says. Put both together. Isn't this a verse of the Quran? So enjoyment, I read this in one place, both points, that subhanAllah, Allah says that, do you know? Allah Ta'ala says that what qualities Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, attributes. Allah Ta'ala has put Jannah on one side, Paradise, and on the other side is Jahannam, Hellfire. And Allah has given us the selection. Choose what you want to select. And you can get both. Think for yourself. And we have been given the ability to practice so we can select one of these two conclusions. So on one side is Shadidul Iqab, and on the other side Allah is Ghafurur Rahim. Allah says, do you want to come towards this side, the punishment, or do you want to go to the other side, extreme good fortune and extreme rewards? Do you want to come to this side or to that side, to the left or to the right? Do you want to come to Shadidul Iqab? Allah says, is this what you want? Allah Ta'ala says, my Shadid punishment at that time will descend when you leave Salah and reject Salah. And I will show you the punishment, not one. I'll give you examples of the previous nations, how I destroyed them, Allah Ta'ala says. How they were wasted. You can carry on doing adhan after that and do what you want. Allah says, once when I come into my jalal, when anger is aroused, then my punishments are such that I wipe away the people like the dust in the wind. Ajib, unique adab and punishments Allah gave to the previous nations. Jibreel Alayhi came, lifted up the whole town and took it up high. Allah Akbar. And from high up, he turned it upside down, slammed it down.
down to that. And nobody knew where did the people disappear to. And all of the fussiness and all of the excuses evaporated like thin air. And such winds came that people evaporated in the winds. That was their punishment. And another place is Allah Ta'ala shook the earth and everything went up and down, upside down, and evaporated and crumbled to dust. And if we come with a certificate for guarantee and we're sitting with pride, Allah says this is for a short time. O servants of Allah, look in your homes, look in your homes, that don't reject salah, don't leave salah, don't compromise salah. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the message of the Quran. Where do we seek success? Where do we seek success? Oh, I need a deed that will save me and give me success. Allah openly, clearly said that home where there's no salah is like a graveyard. That human being is not a human being. If on his forehead there's no mark of prostration, or he's not prostrating, he is dead. Doesn't matter how much he eats and walks and talks, but he has no iman, because Allah Ta'ala has given the quality of iman that this person is not obeying my order, the biggest order of praying salah. Can a mu'min leave a salah after hearing all of these things? Can we leave salah? Except that person who is severely ill and he's sleeping, lying unconscious. That's an obviously valid excuse. Or person who is a Sharan, Islamic excuse, you can't go to the masjid, some things and threat, etc. But even then, the worst case scenario of praying salah, even if your body cannot move, then move your eyes and your eyelids and pray salah. Now here, like move your eyelids up and down, left and right down, that you have to make intention, even if you can't move your limbs, arms, hands, body, Allah, I'm praying, I'm fulfilling the positions, Allah, accept my salah, and salah will be accepted. And for the women, it has been said that if a child of the woman is being born, and half the child is inside and half is outside the womb, even then she should pray salah. Allahu Akbar. The ulama ikram will tell you this. Even in that condition, make niyah, I'm praying salah. Make niyah. If it's our time and it's going. So it's such an important action. And we eat, drink, strong, tall. We are 4 foot, 6 foot tall and broad chested and big and energetic. We say, oh, it's my choice. I'll pray if I want. Don't tell me if my son prays or does. It doesn't matter. Allah's ghafoor rahim. Allah will give. Oh, he works, isn't it? He earns money. He's bringing money home. And he earns good salary. They say in Punjabi, bada sona kamanda, they say. I'm telling you in Punjabi. And it meets with Gujarati. Oh, mashallah, he cooks, he earns big salary, thousands, he's got a nice car, brand new, he's progression, advanced. Look at my son, he works, he's a career, profession, he's a professional. They say, Mulana says, does he pray salah? Mulana sahab, pray salah. Oh, we ain't got time for namaz. That's for Maulvi sahab, we come to this country. We're professionals, we're advanced, we ain't got time for prayer. What prayer are you talking about? Astaghfirullah, we come to this country then? Question mark. So do we all do tawbah for salah? We're not doing tawbah. I will do tawbah and you all do tawbah. Everybody do tawbah and the whole ummah. Let's do tawbah for the whole ummah. Because our condition on the ummah at this moment in time, our scenario, we blame others. We are foolish people. We are foolish people. We blame other people. Like for example, when a person is like, he's got victim mentality. So he has his finger is here and he has one here. And he says, how many fingers here? Yeah, we should be ashamed if we don't know the answer. And this is what's destroyed us. This is, oh, this person hits us, or this person's against us. And we say, these three fingers say, stop talking nonsense. It's you yourself, you are disobedient, you are ghustakh, you are disobedient, and your iman is not correct. These three fingers tell us this. Why are you pointing other people? Because this person is doing it, he's doing bidnillah, Allah Ta'ala's permission. How can somebody dare to harm somebody who reads the Quran? How? Why? Because our Khaliq is Allah. Allah has created everyone in the world. Who can have energy or power or the ability or the permission? Allah Ta'ala says, I am giving you adab and I've created the means and all this drama and stories, and you are swearing at the other people or ridiculing them or blaming them. What an ajeeb situation. Allah Ta'ala says, maybe that will be shorted out. Allah Ta'ala, will you swear the electricity? Allah will say, mad, it's you. That you went to the switch, the wiring was incorrect. It's not the fault of the electricity. The electricity's function is to burn. The work of the fire is to burn. It will do its function, fulfill its function. If you set a fire here and say, why is it burning here? And the fire will say, you mad? My job is to burn and you created me. If you can be saved, then get away from me. Go far from me. Why did you set the fire here and come close to me? So this is the point. We have inflicted ourselves with our own issues when the qawm is in such a bad situation. Look at our salah today. Oh, 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 tawbah, 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 tawbah. Let's look at the hal, the condition of the ummah today. So Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that tell them, oh my Mahbub, if you want success, what should you do? Pray salah. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Allah says, subhanAllah, Successful indeed are the believers. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Who are humble in their prayers. Not just that you pray. Allah says prayer is so great and this action is so great. Don't just think by praying salah you are fulfilling the condition and the requirement. No, listen here. Allah says not by praying. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The salah of those people. Of who? Those people who pray such a salah, they will get success. Khashi'un. Which people? Khashi'un. Who are what in their prayer? What is the meaning of khashi'un? That those people whose salah has the inherent quality of beauty. And is there three qualities Allah Ta'ala is mentioning of the salah? Look, listen to this point here now, brothers. That where does the salah go when we pray? Now, I've just prayed salah. You've prayed salah. Fajr. We pray salah? Have you prayed? Have you prayed? Where's it gone, the salah? Tell me. Has it disappeared? Where's it gone? Lost? We don't even know where my salah has gone. My brothers, every salah that we pray, what do we say? Allah is for Allah's sake. We say this, don't we? Who is the salah for? Allah Ta'ala's sake. What does this mean? That we are giving our salah to Allah. So salah, when we pray salah, it doesn't stay here next to us physically in the earth. We're doing it for Allah's sake. So when I pray salah, what am I doing? Allah, this salah I've prayed, I want to give it to you. And listen to me carefully what I'm saying. What do I say? Allah, this salah that I've prayed, I want to give it to you, Allah. It's for your sake. I want to deliver it to you, Allah. How sad, and we should be ashamed of ourselves, that when you are giving somebody a gift, do you understand gift? Yeah? You understand this? So insan, when he gives a gift to somebody else, for example, I am giving you a present, okay? Now, when I give you the present, here, take this, my brother, take this. And you'll say, he's such a rude person. Is this the way of giving a present? If he wanted to give a present, he should have given it respectfully. And the other person comes with the same item, he grabs it, and he wraps it up nicely, puts that person's name on the present. He says, here, please take this. Oh, mashallah. Oh, and the same item's inside. Is there a difference in the way of giving? What's the difference? The presentation, the person who's accepted the gift, he thinks in his heart that he has respect for me in his heart. He's giving me the same gift. First person says, here, take this. This is for you. He says, okay, take it. Okay, thanks. The other person wraps it nicely and presents it nicely. What does it show, demonstrate? That this person has respect for me in his heart, that he's presented the gift nicely to me. If he wraps it nicely, you say, subhanAllah, what love this person has for me. SubhanAllah. So with respect comes love. And if he has more, he applies fragrance to it, and he puts a card with it. He says, he's my ashik, my lover. Subhanallah. So hadiya, gift. There's one gift, but there are three ways of giving the hadiya, and there are three different ways of giving the prayer. One is with the rudeness, the second with a little bit of respect, he likes me, and the third, he's my lover, he's my ashik. So when you give salah in the presence of Allah's hadiya, then Allah Ta'ala looks at these three things. Is this person rude? Is he praying salah in a rude way? Is this the salah you're giving to me? Allah says, is this the way you give me salah? Is this the hadiya you're giving to me? Allah will grab that salah and throw it back in our faces. Take it, grab it. Is this no hadith? Tell me, think about it. So is this how we give hadiya? Is this how we present our salah to our Khalik, Creator, our owner, our Malik? Is this how we give it? Is this the etiquettes of giving salah? We come just quickly bop up and down, physically move and then give salah. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the tawfiq to pray. But is this how we pray to Allah? That this salah, who am I giving it to? To Allah. So we should decorate it and we should increase the quality of our salah and make it a great salah. So that Allah Ta'ala says, this is not a common salah. He's my ashik, my lover. This is the salah of the lovers. Have you heard about the salah of the lovers of Allah? The example I gave you to Hazrat Hussein, radiallahu anhu, one sajda. And it was so weighty on the whole world, his prostration. He was reciting the same tasbih, but the stamp had been given. Look at my lover, Hazrat Hussein, radiallahu anhu, when a lover gives a hadiya gift, he says, look here, look at this great gift my beloved has given to me. Ya, there's so much color in it and fragrance and so much quality, and how he's packed it and preserved it, how much he struggled. He has a love for me, he has regard for me, he has respect for me. Isn't this the case? So it is something maybe cheap, maybe it's common, but when you present it nicely, then you take the heart out and give your heart to the other person and say that, hey, when you decorate it, you could wrap it and make it glow and glitter. And the more decoration you put on the item, the present, the more you present it, make it look nice, then you are thinking in your heart that I want to make my mahbub become happy. Happy. So when the ashik, when he reads his salah, then he reads the salah in such a way that I want my Rabb to be happy with me, my Lord. Alladheena hum
fi salatin khashi'un. Allah says that if you want to give me your salah for forgiveness, to earn forgiveness, and you want to earn my pleasure, Allah says, if I'm happy with you, then I'll give you forgiveness. If you really want my pleasure, if you want to give me hadiya and the gift of your salam, Allah says, the first thing I will look at on the day of judgment, when the man will stand in front of Allah, his Lord, Allah will say, bring his gifts that he sent to me. Then Allah will not ask him about dhikr. These are things afterwards. First thing Allah will say, yes, Haji sahab, come here. Come here. What does he want to present? A'mal. The deeds will come. And how many deeds will I have? Count. We cannot even count. We'll lose count, isn't it? We can't count. We'll lose count. And Allah will say, Amal. You say, no. Allah will say, no. Amal, I want one amal, not amal, deeds. Allah will say, salah, salah, salah. Bring your salah. Bring your salah. Bring your salah. And this, oh Lord, leave this. Allah will say, I want your salah with khashi'un. Alladheena hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Did you pray salah according to the standard I set? Allah will ask. Did you? This is what Allah will ask. Allah, and then if we present, Allah will say, I was happy with you. I was happy with you while you were in the dunya. Take him to paradise. What about the rest of his deeds? Allah will say, no, those deeds will make you elevated in Jannah. But now just get away from it. Run away and get into paradise. So has salah not given salvation, success? It has. It has. So one is praying salah, and one is establishing the salah on the right standard and quality. To a fikr, that how shall I present my salah? How shall I wrap it in the decoration, in the wrapping paper, apply fragrance to it, scent, and utur, and decorate it, make it, elevate it, build it. If you get fajr with the fadl, I might not get fajr again in my life. So in such a great way, fulfill the fajr salah, that our heart should be happy, and Allah, our mahbub, should be pleased and happy beyond happy. Aha. So this is the salah we should be praying and presenting. Khashi'un. Now there are some signs of the salah with khashi'un. How? There are three qualities. If you have these three qualities in your salah, in my salah, then the salah comes into the level of khashi'un salah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there are three qualities. I will tell you according to the hadith of Rasulullah SAW. And if you pray like this with these three qualities inherent in your salah will have khashi'un. Rasulullah, the final prophet SAW, stated about salah, mashallah, in many hadith you hear and read. So what is the example given for salah? The Rasulullah SAW said that salah is like a river. When a person, the river is coming from your home and it's flowing, and you, if you dip into that river 5 times a day, and if you bathe in that river 5 times a day, will there be any dirt impurity on your body after that? No, there won't be, will there? So the first quality of khashi'un salah, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi gave the example of a river. The person who has a good salah and a good prayer, what will be the sahal of his salah? Is like a river. His salah will be like the river that purifies another person. When a person bathes in the river, he comes back clean, pure, no dirt attached to him, isn't it? So the person who prays 5 times a day, who prays salah and comes back after him praying or her praying, then his situation or her situation will be such that no sin will remain in that person. No sin. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yes. This is the point. And this is the point that we need to understand. This is the quality of salah, and this is khashiyun. There should be no sign of dirt. And a person, he should feel very light after salah. He's feeling enjoyment. His tears come out. And little small eyes, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدْ إِنَّا أَتَيْنَكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. Not big long verses, but even if he's reciting short verses, but he's enjoying himself, immersed, khashiyun salah, humble in his prayer. So this is quality number one of salah, that the consequence of that is that he, the sins are removed. And a person who after praying, and he's so difficulty with the difficulty prays after that, he defrauds people, he cheats people, 1,000 times he fools people, then what do people say? Oh, I've seen people pray salah. Look at this person, that the other people, when he prays the futsta, then he takes other people from salah. Oh, I've seen many people growing the beard. The people say, the public, the common public, we don't keep the beard. We're not going to pray salah. They're foolish people who say this. They shouldn't take the example of that physical person. So the person who prays salah and he does wrong, he becomes the example, a bad example to others, that these people who pray salah, they're fraudsters, they cheat others, they steal. Because he has not prayed the salah of khashi'un, because he's done wrong. But the person who prays salah khashi'un, he will come out light and he will show and demonstrate that I've just met my Lord. I'm light and I've just met my Lord. The next quality of the musalli. So the first quality we've shared. And the second quality, a person who prays salah to him khashi'un. The second quality of the person who prays salah to khashi'un is that when he is praying for salah and he says Allahu Akbar and he starts salah, the person who has khushu in the heart after saying Allahu Akbar, the whole world disappears.
from his mind, and I am facing Kaaba, Allahu Akbar, and in front of me is the Kaaba Wala, Allah. This is called Kaaba. The Kaaba Wala is the Kaaba is in front of me, and the owner of the Kaaba is in front of me, and everything between relatives, shop, drinking, wife, children, business, travel, illness, hal, and this and that, A to Z, everything disappears. Sahaba Ikram, they were the example in front of us. Then he said, look, my leg, you need to take out something. When I'm praying, do that. And I cannot feel anything. He says, when I'm praying, you can cut out the wound and give the injection when you want. I'll say Allah Akbar, and then what you need to do while I'm praying, and then remove that contamination from my leg or my foot. And this is the second sign of khushu, khashi'un, of the extreme humbleness in salah. You'll have no thoughts or distractions in salah, and your salah will become so great with the khashi'un, with the khushu. Allah Akbar. Has Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that this salah becomes such a salah that even if you pray two nafil in this way, two rakah voluntary in this way, then all night the ibadah, your ibadah worship will become great. That your whole night ibadah, the two rakah nafil, if it's prayed in the correct manner, it will go and elevate to the highest level and elevate all of your deeds in the night. Salah. Khashun. Rather, there's another hadith that tells us the person who prays two rakah salah with the sincerity and humbleness, then all his sins are wiped away, his previous sins, wiped away. Subhanallah, what a great result of salah. Khashi'un salah. So two things have come in now. Isn't it? So in your heart, in your mind, there are no thoughts when you're praying. So this is the second quality of the khashi'un salah. And the third quality of khashi'un salah, Allah Ta'ala says that the sign of salah is what the Quran says. The Quran says that the sign of salah is that salah, when you pray, establish your salah, it will save you from lewd actions, bad actions, sins. Everyone knows this, isn't it? I don't stop myself from the sins, but you, mashallah, pious people. But after salah, cricket matches and watching things and all the sins. Oh, I prayed salah after Isha. Ah, we're going to watch the drama. Sit down. And that's the time when the sins start. Isha, the final salah of the day. Oh, it's in the way. Let me just quickly pray it. And then I'm used to sitting down. Quickly, quickly, pray salah early. Quickly, let's get free from salah. Quickly, quickly, let's get home with ease and quickly after that. And rather, the time for salah should be such which the Sharia has told us. Fajr, the time, the best time for salah, Tul Fajr, and the best time of Maghrib, and the Isha, the best time, what is the best time? But we do those times that are for our physical ease and comfort and our nafsi desires. Allahu Akbar. So with salah, we are tinkering with the times for our ease. We look for hours. Is this not the case? Say it loudly. Yes. That's why we should be careful. If I'm just saying something right or wrong, tell me. Confirm. So all night long, if I'm speaking, I could be right or wrong. Some of what I'm saying, is it right? Okay. So what's the time for salah? This is my dinner time, 5:30. So let's keep it 5 p.m., isn't it? But 5 p.m., people don't even close the shops. Oh, it's okay. Let's pray and get free and get away from this. I've got to do a lot of things after Isha. And Allah's Nabi says, I'm saying, the best salah of Isha is what? That is prayed, the delayed time. Aha! Subhanallah. Delay time. What a treasure. That Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that if you pray salah at the time that I like, okay, fine, the time is started, you can pray early, beginning time, pray. But my preference is what? That pray Salatul Isha, delay it a bit. Pray it a bit later. So who's the Ashik who will go and pray Isha at 4 p.m.? Will he have sukoon and peace in the night? Will he have satisfaction? Will he be able to sleep nicely? Am I right or am I wrong? So no. What can we do? Allah's given us a chance. We can pray early and we can do other things after that. What kind of point is this? Huh? We are comparing to Rasulullah's preference. So at least the time between Maghrib and Isha, when the time increases, subhanAllah, the person who's praying salah will wait for salah. Allah will be kareem as well. That when you're waiting from Maghrib to Isha, more time than you'll get the thawab as if you are praying the salah. So how much time we're wasting? We're wasting the opportunity. Life is with salah. And we've wasted our life when we detach it from salah. You taking what I'm saying badly? There's enjoyment in this, that when you pray Isha, in these days, a bit delayed, Rasulullah said that I feel the sahaba used to be waiting with passion and fervor, that we're doing ibadah, that we're not even praying and we're getting the reward of prayer, and his heart is there in the balance, hanging, waiting. There's hikmah here. Everything has a hikmah. Rasulullah's deeds and practice, that my ummah is getting the reward for salam. They'll eat and drink, they'll sit down, they'll wait, and their thoughts are waiting. Isha time is coming. They're eating, drinking, they're sitting at home, they're waiting for that time, and then the hal of the dunya, physically than the world, but they're getting the reward of salah. Say loudly, subhanallah. Subhanallah. What beautiful points I'm telling you, huh? I'm sharing with you. So yesterday, were you in the majlis, all of you? Huh? You weren't there? Okay. Yeah, so get up. Is this what we're saying? That you're lazy? That everyone else was there? Were you there? This mashallah, they say that where my car goes, come after me. I said to you, didn't I? So get ready for London. Subhanallah. Inshallah, then we will travel. We will keep on traveling nicely here and there because we have to remember Allah. So my car will go. And where will the car stop? In Jannat al Firdaus, inshallah. Inshallah. So my brothers, my friends, what a great point. Salah. Salah, such a salah. Subhanallah. In which, what's the other quality? That what should salah do? It should stop from the bad actions after praying salah. That this is the amount of haya we should have. So there are three qualities, there are other points, but I'm just saying something quickly here, so we can cover everything. That a person who doesn't think about things, then he's got salatul khashu, and he's got khushu in his salah. When he's not thinking about dunya. And in that salah, when you feel and think that after going, that no other thought should come, that no bad sin should come into your mind. And after finishing salah, your body should be light. And what are these signs of? That you are praying salatul khashun. When khushu comes, Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلِحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. That what are you worried about? Every salah of yours will be paradise. Every salah of yours will take you to the heights. Every prostration of yours will take you to the heights. No deed is comparable to salah in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing. Nothing. You'll be enjoying when you, the namazi, will see, alhamdulillah, the uruj, the heights. Like that we've spoken about waiting, waiting. We've seen the people waiting from Isha, Maghrib to Isha. He's waiting. What is the thawab that I've got for this? He was eating. I was speaking to my wife. I was speaking to the children. And he's looking at the watch. Isha's about to come. Isha's about to come. Isha's about to come. And in this intazar and wait, he's looking at the darajat, the maqamat. The state, there's so much maqam. He gets the maqam, the heights, heights. Where will he reach? Subhanallah. Where does he reach to? To what qurb? To what nearness? Abu Bakr Siddiq's house, he will see it. Hazrat Umar's house, radiyallahu anhu, he will see it. Hazrat Ali Karamallahu Wajh's house, he will see it. That it will come close, close. And he goes higher, higher. He sees the house and the shan and the states of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And what will take us there to this? Salah. The action of salah will take us to this. Which salah? Salatihim khashun. Small verse of reciting, not a long tafsir. And your life's been made with this one verse, hasn't it? Has the life not come, the whole deen not come into your life? It's come, hasn't it? So now, my brothers, I'm here, and we have a carpet here, and we sat on this carpet, and if I say that we will pray salah on this carpet when it's park pure, and a child urinates on this carpet. Now listen to what I'm saying clearly. The child has urinated here. So he can't, only the child will urinate, he's not an older person. So now the maslatas of Mawlana Sahib will all tell us that this child is urinated on the carpet, clean it, purify it, otherwise it's impure. Isn't this Mawlana Sahib? This is the masla, isn't it? You can't pray on it. So what will we do? Oh, the people say, no, you can't pray, you can't pray. The child urinated here is wet, is impure. Everybody will say, isn't it? So first Imam Sahib will say, that I'll put something here, purify it, otherwise we'll waste our time. You can't pray on this piece of carpet. You have to purify it. So will we leave the carpet like that? We'll just carry on praying on it? No. What will we do? We'll bring water. We'll clean the carpet. We'll clean it again. Cleanse it. Purify it. So everybody can pray on there. So the urine came. And then what happened to the carpet? It became impure. And if it's not pure from the urine, then it's cut off that portion of the carpet from all. Everywhere else you can prostrate. But here on this portion you cannot pray and prostrate. So how did we purify it? With the water. If we didn't put water and scrub it and clean it, then it wouldn't be pure. You understand the point? So it's by physically doing something, isn't it? So where will we get khushu in the salah from? Khashi'un. Will it come from a shop? Tell me. From a warehouse? You cannot pray salah. It will not be accepted. There's no benefit of your salah. So what do we need to do? We need to instill the khashi'un, the khushu into salah. Where will we get? Where do we get khashi'un from? Where does the pure thought come? Where does the humble thought come from in salah? Where does it come from? Tell me loudly. Your salah is spoilt. If you haven't got it, that who creates the sin? Tell me. The heart. Yeah? So, the first quality of salah, the khashyun, is you shouldn't have thoughts. And the heart makes that happen. And if you do sins, the heart makes it do it. And the bad effects in life, what makes it? The heart do it. The heart makes us do all the bad things. And if the salah hasn't got khashyun, for example, the carpet doesn't let you pray on it if it's got urine on it. So what do we need to do to the heart? Allah Ta'ala says, say it loudly. Allah Ta'ala says, what do we need to do? Clean the heart, and then the khushu, the khashi'un will come into your salah. And if the khashi'un comes into your salah will be accepted. That's it. So if you clean the carpet, you can prostrate on it. If you clean your heart, what comes into your life? Khashi'un, khushu. Yeah, humbleness. You have to clean the heart. Kullu shayin sakinatin, sakinatil qalb. What? Bi dhikrillah. Dhikr of Allah is the cleansing agent. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fine. If you clean the carpet, you clean it with water, shampoo, scrub it, wash it, purify it, pray on it. So if you want to clean your heart, you have to clean your heart so that khashi'un, the khushu, the humbleness can come into your heart. And dhikr of Allah is the cleansing agent. Only one that can clean your heart. So do you understand the masala now? Then why do we do dhikr? Aha, now we understand. If you clean your heart, you do dhikr, your salah will improve. And khashi'un salah, you will come to that level, humbleness. And the person who doesn't do dhikr, he is no fikr. Just pray like a bird popping up and down. All his life long, you will have no fikr. All your life, you've leave the urine on the carpet, just like this. And you don't wash the carpet with the water, then that carpet will never be cleaned. It will be impure. You cannot pray on it. And your salah, you cannot pray on that piece of carpet with the urine on it. This is the maslanah. So if you don't clean your heart, you don't pure your heart, don't. Fair enough. But Allah Ta'ala says, if you don't wash the heart, that carpet, the water will not come. And you, Allah Ta'ala made water to clean that carpet. Allah would never have manufactured dhikr if dhikr cannot clean the heart. Allah Ta'ala says, there are many people who do dhikr. Many, there's no one lacking. There's no lack of people who are doing dhikr, creation. There are many who fall into prostration. Match angels with noor and light that until today we've never seen. The angels haven't seen the other angels, that those angels were in the qurb of Allah. What do they recite? They do tasbih of Allah. They remember Allah. They do dhikr of Allah. That we think we're doing dhikr. That Allah, as Allah Ta'ala said, that do subhanallah, and you think Allah will be happy? Allah Ta'ala says, created the whole form of creation, species, angels. Allah says, shall I show you? Within a second, take a mosquito, take an ant or a spider from the earth, from within the crust of the earth, take an ant and ask it, what do you do? It'll say that today I was given order to do dhikr, recite durood. I recited 1,000 times durood, says the ant. And the animal say, Allah Ta'ala said to me 1,000 times to do subhanallah. Everything that's in the creation from the makhluk, whatever has been given life, whatever it is remembering Allah, paying attention to Allah, doing dhikr of Allah. Me and you, what do? We eat 10 chapatis, we burp and we go to sleep? We forget Allah, we make a fuss and we walk around the earth. I don't need to do dhikr. I'm happy and I've got everything I want. My brothers, Allah Ta'ala has created, manufactured dhikr. Not that Allah Ta'ala is in need of a dhikr. It's for our benefit. Allah says, do dhikr inside you, you'll become pure. When you're purified in your heart, then when you do ibadah, your ibadah will be elevated to the levels. You'll have khashi'un salah. Qad aflaha. Allah says, I will give you forgiveness and success. So what do we understand? The basic point today, my brothers, that don't make a fuss in doing dhikr of Allah. Will you all do dhikr? Will we all do dhikr? Inshallah, true promise. Don't make a fuss. If you make a fuss, it's my loss, your loss. Am I making a fuss with Allah? No, Allah, I'm not going to remember you. I don't need to do dhikr, Allah. Oh, take dhikr out of my life. Oh, take these dhakirin out of the masjid. Oh, why do they waste their time? Look, I'm reading Quran. I've done dhikr. Read your Quran and see how without dhikr will be accepted. Look in your heart, the dirt, the impurities. And look, your Quran, Allah Ta'ala says that, leave this person. That if he's not pure, Allah says, don't touch the mushaf. Don't touch the Quran until you're pure. We think you're pure from doing wudu. Purity is from here, the heart. Allah Ta'ala says, the heart. This is the purity. When we read Quran, we don't benefit without wudu. Okay, Sharia Islam, fair enough. But then only those pray, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Rahman Malikim, Dhalika Al-Kitab Al-Arayba Fi. And when the heart is pure, Alif Lam Mim, they don't even progress. The Alif Lam Mim, so much tafsir comes into his mind. He stood there for hours because his heart is pure. And then you see the true color and the effects. That when Hazrat Ali Karamallahu Wajhahu radhiyallahu anhu recited Quran, he said, I've seen the whole Quran, I could not progress. Bismillah, he said, the ba in the dot of the ba in Bismillah, the tafsir of the Quran, I've seen the whole Quran, I couldn't progress from there. And imagine that the rest of the Quran, because he had the cleanness in his heart. Aha. Subhanallah, when something's attached to Allah, my brothers, that ibadah, dhikr of Allah, which takes you close to Allah, then without purity, you cannot get close to Allah. And if we don't do dhikr of Allah, the makhluk, the creation, it will be wretched, lost in this world and the hereafter. No deed of ours will be accepted. No level, no rank, no status will be given to us. Nor will Allah be happy with us. Then what will an impure person get? My brothers, my words are very unique, but pay attention to what I'm saying. I don't waste time. Do so many sujood. I go to the base, to the core, the read two rakah salah. Has Ibn Abbas said, recite, pray two rakah salah with khushu, humbleness, and then sleep all night long, and this will be greater than the doing ibadah all night long. How easy this is for us. And what else is left for the rest of the night? That two rakah salah, you bring your salah to the highest level, and then do Allah Ta'ala's dhikr for the rest of the night. That my salah, I want it so high, do so much dhikr before salah, with this niyyah, that Allah, I want to make my salah like this, that the way you will. So the people who do dhikr are so many. How can I do your dhikr? Allah, I'm doing it for myself.
Allah, can I compare? Can I compete with your angels? No, I am your makhluk. Allah, I'm doing dhikr so I can be purified and become humble so I can give you something. Allah can present something to you. So my prostrate comes in front of you in the dust and you are happy with me and say, I'll go, I'm happy with you. Allah, I want an answer from you from above. The Allah, Allah says, yes, I've heard your praise. And Rabbul Alameen, you are honest that you said that you are my Rabb and you give. And Allah says, yes, I will give to you. And as you praise Allah, praise Allah, praise Allah, Allah will instill the barakat into your lives and our lives and my life. So this is the reason for doing dhikr, my brothers. That's why the people before us did dhikr, or people today do dhikr. They're not mad. They're not crazy. They give dawah. They propagated dhikr and they passed away from this world. Alhamdulillah. Every deed is great, but the ruh, the soul of every ibadah is dhikr. Spend time, do dhikr. The amount of ibadah you can do and take it to the heights. And look, take your ibadah to the heights close to your Lord for acceptance. For example, you're sending somebody a card, invitation, put it in the envelope, marriage invitation. So when you make the card, you say, wait, who are you sending the card to? No, no, don't send it like that. And wrap it nicely, put it in a nice envelope and tape it nicely and tie it with a knot and fragrance because you're sending it to a big man. So try your best that do as much dhikr as you can. Why? Because I'm presenting my salah to Allah. And when you pray salah, then understand, where's my salah going? To Allah. I should be ashamed. Such a salah I'm going to present to Allah. I should be ashamed. No, let me tap my tasbih first. Do dhikr of Allah. Clean my heart. And Allah will see that I'm trying my best. 10,000 tasbih before salah. Then stand. Allah will say, okay, fine. Now I will accept your salah. You've tried your best to clean your heart. And now we'll accept the quality of your salah, Allah will say. Do you understand what I'm saying? So after every salah, before salah, do tasbih, do dhikr, and after salah as well. So I'll teach you this dhikr. So to you, whoever wants to learn after today, come to me. And quite a few people learnt yesterday, 100 or 150 people learnt yesterday, and 100 people are still waiting. How Allah Ta'ala's rahmah comes, tell me. And those who learnt, they went. I don't know who they were. I have no relationship with them. We maybe won't meet again in life, but they are successful. They're successful. That's it. And now their hearts are alive. They're saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. This is how easy it is. Remember this point. We all have learned dhikr. So don't ever stay quiet. It's a very easy methodology. What is it? All you have to do is that every second make niyat, Allah, I want my heart to do Allah, 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 Allah. That's it. Just think this. My heart is doing Allah, Allah. When you think this and bring it in your mind and you pay attention to your heart, I want to do Allah, Allah, Allah. And your heart will start to do Allah, 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 Allah. That's it. This is a tariqah, a method. And when you learn this tariqah, you have to learn from this faqir, then your heart will become alive and will do Allah Allah. And you have to just think that Allah, my heart automatically just say Allah Allah Allah, and your heart is doing Allah Allah. So every moment you will do Allah Allah Allah, and your heart will be alive, jari. And you will be purified continuously, automatically your eyes will be pure. You drink sins of the eyes pure, sins from the ears pure. Because sin is inherent with us from your organs, your limbs, your body parts, you're pure. You'll say, I'm remembering Allah, so I don't want myself to do any sins. Allah, 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 Allah. And your heart is moving. Allah, Allah, Allah. And your tongue is not moving. Make this a strong lesson. Everything can become a common habit. Look, driving is hard. Ask anyone who doesn't know how to drive. Oh, it's hard. I have to do this. The gear stick. I don't know how to change the gears. I do have to put the clutch on the foot. Put the clutch on. And then this is how you brake. And it's like jahil. Ignorant people who don't know how to drive. But the person who's passed, he becomes an expert. And then he's just with a finger changing the gear. And he doesn't even know when he's put the foot on the clutch. He's not even put the whole hand on the steering wheel. Just a few fingers. Because when you struggled and made an effort, and then automatically you learn how to drive. So if you are exercising and training your heart to do Allah, 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 then automatically there's Allah. In the beginning it's a little bit hard. You have to exercise it, train it. How will I do this? Allah Ta'ala says, Alhamdulillah, this is easy, very easy. May I do the dhikr of Allah, grab hold of dhikr with firmness. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you all the tawfiq. Ameen.